Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Buffalo Beat. This one's coming to you a little bit earlier in the week just because, you know, we want you to enjoy your holiday season and have the podcasts with what we hope will be some time off for you and yours. My name is Joe Biscaglia. With me is my podcast co-host, Matthew Fairburn, and plenty of things have happened since the last time we have all sat down and talked slash listened. The Bills, of course, are 11-3 on the season. But what had not happened the last time we spoke was the Steelers losing to the 2-10-1 Cincinnati Bengals, and also the whole concept of the potential of fans being allowed in for the first playoff game with the Bills and whoever they end up facing. So a lot to get to today. I think we'll kick it off with what has come down this morning. We're taping on Wednesday afternoon, but what has come down this morning is the potential for fans in the stands at Bills Stadium. And Matthew Fairburn just wrote some words about that over at theathletic.com. Matthew, what, catch everybody up to speed. What exactly are we looking at right now? What was said? And where do they go from here?
Yeah, it sounds as if the plan would allow for 6,700 fans at the home playoff game. And that was in Governor Cuomo's briefing on Wednesday, which that's as far as he's gone for sure. You know, I think in the past it's been a situation where, yeah, we'll see, we're working on things. To put a specific number on it and add some specifics to the plan that would include testing, you know, before you'd have to have a negative test before you went into the stadium, and, you know, contact tracing afterward. That's a lot more specific than he's gotten at any point during this season. They also called it, you know, a demonstration project, which is, you know, something that they feel like if they can pull it off for this, you know, it could be a model for the rest of 2021, when we don't know how long all of this is going to go on in terms of, you know, when we reach that quote unquote critical mass in terms of vaccination and everything else. There's lots of, you know, conjecture about when that could happen and, you know, when everything will be safe for events like this, but they feel like they need to have some sort of plan to how to pull it off. And they think the Bills could be, you know, this could be an opportunity to do it. The concern, you know, there's obviously a lot of questions to answer whenever something like this happens. I'm sure everybody's wondering how they choose those 6,700, which will be a right question the Bills have to answer. But before they can even get to that point, the state has to figure out, A, if they're going to go forward with this, how do you get the testing, who pays for the testing, because it sounds like it'll be rapid tests at the stadium. So that's 6,700 tests that need to be accounted for and paid for in some way. I don't know if it'll be rolled into ticket costs or how they'll do that. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, something Governor Cuomo brought up is that they are trying to figure out, you know, the balance of, you know, will this cause more ancillary events like tailgate parties or big gatherings outside the stadium, like we saw at the airport on Saturday night.
I was going to say, that's exactly what your mind goes to first, because, I mean, that's not even a game. That's just a plane landing, and there was a lot of people, and they were all packed in pretty close together.
And not everybody was wearing a mask at that, gathering. And, you know, as Governor Cuomo said, you know, everybody was excited. He understands that. But gatherings like that, you know, are viewed as problematic when you're talking about a health crisis and everything else. But, you know, I think when they're looking at that, they probably have to look at it from both sides of, if they let fans in, will that decrease the likelihood of other gatherings? Or, you know, how much of an impact is that going to have one way or the other? Because I don't know, they've been very careful about what they say and their messaging and everything else. So I don't know that they would tease this and make it sound as if it's happening if they weren't serious about trying to make it happen.
Right.
And at that point, by even floating it out there in the specifics that they did and, you know, addressing it the way that they did, if it didn't happen, you'd almost be running the risk of having people trying to show up anyway. I don't know if that would happen. You know, there's a lot of tough guys on Twitter that say they're going to show up no matter what, but they've been saying that since August, and I haven't seen anybody outside the stadium at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the airport thing was one thing, but are you really going to gather outside the stadium? You know, they've done a pretty good job of keeping those areas around the stadium clear when that's their intention. You know, the Erie County's done a good job with that, and I think people would rather watch the game than, you know, be fighting with local law enforcement about whether they can stand in a parking lot in January and watch the game from outside the stadium. So I don't know. I'm sure all those things are what they're considering. You know, how much will opening the gates of the stadium be a problem versus keeping them closed presenting its own problem? So I don't know. We'll see. To me, it sounds promising, you know, in terms of getting fans in there. Is this going to have a massive impact on the team? Probably not. You know, 6,700 fans is not quite a home field advantage, but I do think it'll provide an emotional lift. Sean McDermott and, I don't know, probably upwards of a dozen players at this point have sort of lobbied for this in one way or another, indirectly or directly, throughout the season. So it's something that they're really interested in having. And I think, you know, it sounds like they're trying to do it as carefully as they possibly can. That's a pretty small number of people. The testing, you know, is something that we haven't seen at other events, other places that have opened their stadiums. So the plan as it's been laid out seems like a bit more of a careful plan than we've seen, but it'll probably depend on, they need to know in the next week or so that, you know, the county and the team can prepare mm-hmm. for, it's a much different preparation for game day if you're opening the stadium for the first time.
Absolutely. You need people to go through a test run on the outside. And I wonder if maybe they would do something like that with some members of their staff ahead of the Dolphins game for week 17, just as a kind of a trial run, or maybe sometime within the week of the playoff game. You know, it just seems like they don't want the actual playoff game itself to be the first run through for something as big of an operation as what it's sounding to be. And, you know, to your point, I think the whole impact it could have, yeah, it's going to be an emotional lift by all means. And, you know, it'll definitely put an extra pep in the Bills players' step just to have some fans in there, because they haven't had really any Bills fans at their games outside of maybe in Miami, maybe in Tennessee. And those two areas that allowed some games to have some fans already. But for the most part, the sound element and what they could expect in terms of having a home field advantage from having those fans in there. I mean, just basing it off what we've seen at other places that have allowed fans, it's kind of negligible. I mean, sure, you hear some background noise or something like that, but it's nothing quite like when the stands are packed and It's not even on the same scale, really. And I'm sure Bills fans will say, well, those weren't Bills fans you were watching. And I hear you. You guys are a loud bunch. Fully understood. But there is a difference in sheer number of volume. And so that's why I would wonder while it would be fun for the fans who could get in, also setting up for a lot of disappointment about those who cannot. Like you said, how do you decide? I mean, that's one of the biggest things, and trying to figure out who to allow in, how to do it safely, and without
how much it's going to cost.
Yeah, right? The cost, like, too.
We've seen that become kind of an issue in other places. I don't know. I think, you know, it depends if the cost of testing is folded into the cost of the ticket. It's not such a crazy number of tests that the team couldn't, you know, foot the bill, but, you know, that's also not guaranteed that they would. Right. So, yeah, I think there's probably a very, the small impact it could have on the team itself is kind of the emotional boost, the connection to those people who are there. I do think there is some sort of psychological impact, but in terms of the traditional home field advantage, you know, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Phillip Rivers or Lamar Jackson, they're not going to have too hard of a time hearing themselves in the huddle or, you know, relaying, you know, it just won't be the case. You know, that typical intimidating loud stadium that makes it hard to call plays and creates momentum swings, I don't think that will exist. But, you know, what it will mean to those 6,700 people and what it'll probably mean to the players to see them, I think, you know, is definitely somewhat significant.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, if they do go through with this, and if you out there listening are one of the 6,700 people, get ready for, if the Bills win that game and have their first playoff win since 1995, get ready to not only defend that you were in fact there, but also have your ticket stub ready, because there's going to be a lot of people that were claiming to be there. I would expect, in a lot in the same way as like when the comeback game happened and a bunch of people left the stadium, and then, you know, basically everyone said, oh, well, I stayed, but most of the people left when it was 35-3. I think it might be a little bit of a case of that. So, yeah. But either way, it'll be at least a fun element, as long as it's done safely and in the right manner, to see actual fans in the stands for what is going to be the most important game for the Bills in a very, very, very long time. So it should be interesting, but we'll keep you all up to date as it goes through different twists and turns. The other thing I wanted to get to was, before we got into the actual game stuff, was the whole idea that this 2 seed is now looking like a real thing here. I mean, we expected the Steelers maybe to lose one of their 3 games, but certainly not to the Bengals like they did. And basically the only thing standing in the way of the Bills getting the 2 seed now is them winning 2 games. If they win 2 games, then they're good to go. And that gets them to 13-3. They'll have the 2 seed, guaranteed to have a second home playoff game. But there's still a path, a pretty realistic one, for them to get the 2 seed, win this week against the Patriots, rest their guys and lose in week 17, and still end up with that seed. Now, getting to as high of a seed as possible, Sean McDermott said, I think it was on Monday, you always want the highest seed possible. So if I'm judging the way that he spoke on that, he probably will want to play for it, but I guess you never know until they're really in the throes of it, and when you know the exact situation of everything they need to happen, or maybe things go their way this weekend. I mean, let's say the Titans lose to the Packers, and once again the Steelers lose to the Colts here, then the Bills, with a win over the Patriots, I believe they lock it in. Am I right on that? I'm pretty sure they do. Unless I think the Browns might factor into it as well.
The Browns don't. Maybe the Browns do factor in. The Colts may as well.
They win a tiebreaker with the Colts.
But they should win their tiebreaker with the Colts.
Right.
I think they're good in that scenario. Let me pull up the.
The Browns are the only one I don't know for sure.
The playoff tiebreakers and all that were put out by the league yesterday, but I think those two are the most important games. And the Browns play the Jets this week, right?
Yeah, they do. So that's gonna be a win.
Yeah, I don't think the Browns factor in because the Browns have a worse conference record, if I'm not mistaken.
The Browns conference record is 6-4 and the Bills are 8-2.
So if they win this weekend, they would be at worst 9-3 with a loss to the Dolphins.
Right.
So yeah, I think they're pretty much good.
Those
are two realistic outcomes, right? Like the Steelers losing to the Colts and the Titans losing to the Packers are things that very much could happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right there in front of them. So then I suppose what's the play here, since that's the bigger part. Let's say those things don't happen. And because this is a real discussion that the Bills themselves are going to have. And we kind of got into this a little bit, but it's a little bit more real because now they have already received the help they've needed. Let's say the Steelers lose, but the Titans win. Against the Packers to get to 11-4, or vice versa, or maybe they both win. If the Bills do what they're supposed to do and defeat the New England Patriots, what do you do in week 17? Do you rest your guys, or do you go for the 2 seed? And what would you do, A, and B, what do you think Sean McDermott's going to do?
I think I would rest players because, you know, the whole thing falls apart if you lose a certain couple 17. Of guys, right? 17 or 17 or even 14 really put a dent into your playoff, your hopes of a long playoff run. And quite a few other players would, not be ideal either. They are pretty fortunate in terms of their overall team health at the moment. And I think it would probably not be worth it to push their luck. They would play some guys, I think. I have a feeling that when push came to shove, Sean McDermott would take guys out and not go too hard after it. I know he said they want the highest seed possible. I think they're really locked in on this game. I think this game means quite a bit to them.
Yeah.
Internally, from the standpoint of leaving no doubt, sweeping the Patriots, winning in Foxborough, all those things. And it will end up being important for seeding because everything is so congested in the AFC. Getting to 12 wins will be important. But by week 17, I think the playoffs will come into focus a lot more. And the weird part about it is, and this may be a wrinkle that gets thrown in, if the Dolphins win this weekend, and I'm not going to say that the Bills are going to be out there throwing games or anything like that, but
they've got the Raiders this weekend.
Do you almost lean more towards resting the guys week 17 if a win gets the Dolphins into the playoffs? Because that could keep Baltimore on the outside looking in, potentially.
Right.
The Baltimore's on the outside looking in at the moment, and they have a chance to catch some other teams, but they'll probably win out and get to 11 wins, but that game between the Dolphins and Raiders is pretty huge this weekend.
Yeah, I do think that is a wrinkle that we have to consider. I don't know that it's in McDermott's DNA, maybe, to think about things from that perspective. I think he's just kind of a, we'll play whoever we play here, rather than trying to concoct who he's going to play. And because it might not even help them if they were to lose that game, unless, of course, they already have the 2 seed locked up heading into week 17. So, you know, I totally
hear. Yeah, I think that would be more about having the 2 seed locked up, which in any case, they're probably resting the starters
100%.
Anyways. That would work out for them.
Yeah, the other part of this is I would want to see what happens with those other 2 games just in general before I would rest those guys in trying to sneak Miami into the playoffs. Because if both Tennessee and Pittsburgh end up winning this week, then there is a scenario where the Bills are, if they lose to Miami, then they end up with the 4 seed and have to play the best team of the wild card group. Because that would mean if Pittsburgh wins out and if Tennessee wins out, that puts Tennessee at 12-4. That puts Pittsburgh at 13-3. And it would and if the Bills were to lose to Miami in week 17 after beating the Patriots, that would put them at 12-4. So that would put them behind Pittsburgh on record, and that would put them behind Tennessee on tiebreaker because the Titans beat them. So it really depends on what happens with those 2 games. Like if one of those 2 teams lose, then I think that probably strengthens the argument to rest their guys. But if those 2 things do not go the Bills' way, if both the Steelers and the Titans win, then if I'm the Bills, I'm absolutely playing my guys in week 17, because I think the last thing that you want is to play Kansas City in the first round of the playoffs. Yes, you're in the playoffs and you're still getting a home playoff game either way, but seeding is very important. We have discussed this so much on this podcast in the last few weeks that it feels like it would be a really big missed opportunity if things don't go their way this week and then trying to tempt your fate and resting your starters just because, you know, you want to give them a manufactured bye, when in actuality it could pair you up with the Kansas City Chiefs in week 17. So the results this weekend are absolutely huge for any further decision making as they go.
Yeah, I think avoiding the number 4 seed is important.
Right.
Getting the difference between 2 and 3 is probably pretty small.
Whether or not you're playing at home, basically.
Yeah, and there's still a chance you play at home as the 3.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I think, you know, avoiding that 4 is definitely more important. You don't want to get stuck there, not even for the matchup sake. You might get a better matchup sitting at 4. I think, you know, the way you can bat around these scenarios, it's, you know, it's tough to figure out how 2 through 7 is going to shake out in the AFC. So you're kind of rolling the dice no matter what when it comes to matchup. No better example of that than the 2 seed, where you could face the Dolphins or you could face the Ravens. Like, that's right. I think that's a pretty big difference in the minds of most people, certainly in terms of, you know, where those 2 teams were heading into the season, but I think where they are now as well. It's more about being in either the 2 or the 3 to set yourself up beyond the first round, not running into Kansas City so early, potentially, not having to play on the road, potentially, you know, because there's a much better chance you're playing on the road as the 4 than there is as the 2 or the 3.
Yeah.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I mean, their best case scenario here is if they beat New England and both the Steelers and Titans lose, and then so that way they can rest their guys, manufacture a bye week for those guys, and then head into the first week of the playoffs, playing potentially the Dolphins in that wild card game, and setting themselves up for a second home playoff game either against the Steelers or against the winner of the 4-5 matchup, depending on if the Steelers were to beat the sixth seed. So, or, you know, maybe I think it's a possibility. I might be wrong. I think the Steelers are probably locked into that three seed if, as long as they win one of their games. But who knows if they even do that? It's very convoluted in the AFC. It's almost ridiculous, even seeing a potential, maybe even 11-5 team, not even making the playoffs when there's seven teams this year. That's kind of remarkable that the Bills' great year is coming when the AFC has had one of its best years in a long time.
Yeah, it's crowded at the top, but it's really, really messy in the middle, and there's eight teams worthy. You know, at this point, Vegas is looking like a super long shot, and really any of those eight teams could make a run. Maybe it's just me, but Miami seems like perhaps the one that doesn't belong.
It's not just you.
Quite yet. I don't know. They have a good team. I think they're a threat to beat certain teams, depending on who they match up with. But, you know, when you have a rookie quarterback, to me, there's only a rookie quarterback and not an overwhelming amount of talent around the rookie quarterback on offense. Your ceiling is a little bit capped, in my opinion. But any of those other teams, you could see. Actually, the funny thing is maybe Pittsburgh's the other one at this point that you don't think could pull it off just the way that they're playing. But if they snap out of it at any point, or Ben Roethlisberger manages to reverse the clock a little bit here, they're not a pushover either. So it's going to be a tough road to climb out of the AFC, but I think the Bills are, even in such a strong conference, one of the strongest contenders.
Yeah, they most certainly are. And it's at least setting up for them, as long as they take care of their business. It at least sets up for them to avoid Kansas City in that second round game, as long as they get through the first round, because that's not a guarantee either with the type of talent that there is in the AFC this year. So a lot of things to consider as the Bills kind of march forward. And this game coming up, another Monday night game. It's not as, I guess, a novelty as it was a few weeks ago when they took on the 49ers in that Monday night game. This one, they're probably not like, oh, we haven't been on Monday night in a long time, anything like that. It's going to be more about just handling their business. And you said something earlier that I wanted to get back to. About how this Bills team, they appear dialed in this week because of who they're up against, and what it means, and maybe even, you know, I think the term statement is kind of thrown around a little bit, but maybe even doing something along those lines to where this was a team that dominated in the AFC East forever. These late games, it's usually been the reverse effect where the Patriots are the ones just kind of playing out the string of the regular season, and the Bills are the ones just waiting for it to end. It's opposite this time, and the Patriots might even start Jarrett Stidham again, we're recording this on Wednesday, so we don't know exactly what's going to happen. But this game, this is a team that the Bills have beat before. It was very close last time, but it seems like everything that could be going the Bills' way heading into this matchup, and everything that could be going against the Patriots heading into this matchup, it's a stark difference between the two.
Yeah, it certainly is. Being officially eliminated from the playoffs probably takes a little bit of the wind out of their sails. It's certainly opening up the conversation for the quarterback position, like you said. A question that Bill Belichick hasn't even entertained before this week, and now is certainly going back and forth on. I think there's a decent chance they see Stidham just for that reason, because we haven't seen Bill Belichick even so much as entertain the idea of switching quarterbacks until this week. Either way, I don't think there's a dramatic difference in what you're going to see. The scheme will probably be slightly different. Won't be anything they haven't seen before. It won't be a complete overhaul of what they do on offense. They'll still probably run the ball a lot, which they're good at, and have been good at for most of the year. I think there's still a healthy respect because of what they've done for so long, right or wrong. I think it's the right approach. The respect, this year hasn't necessarily been warranted for a pretty average team, but everybody in that locker room, in that building, has some scars built up from what this team did. Not necessarily for the last 20 years, because a lot of these guys weren't here, but at least for the last few, because they couldn't get past this Patriots team when Tom Brady was there. And they've seen Bill Belichick give Josh Allen some problems almost every time they've played, essentially. So I think there's a certain mental hurdle that they'd like to clear of going into Foxborough, winning handily, winning with authority, and not leaving any shred of doubt in their own minds about what type of team they are. As much as it would eliminate doubt, there's not too much doubt floating around about this Bills team these days, but it would eliminate some of that external doubt. But I think in their own minds, it would be a minor but mildly significant blow to the psyche to go into Foxborough and lose to this Patriots team. And the way they've, the confidence has been rolling for them, I think keeping it going against this team is a high priority for the coaching staff heading into the week. Yes, they clinched the AFC East, but not only are there significant seeding implications here, but it is the Patriots, and there's something to be said about that. And on Monday Night Football, they've seemed to like the bright lights this year.
It would also give the players motivation to potentially, at least the starting players, to potentially have a week off next week. Not a total week off, but at least with the option, right? A little mini bye. Maybe you have to practice, but there's a. I know we touched on this before on the pod, but a lot of practice squad players that can be called up to give a lot more guys rest than they would normally be able to. So that's at least something to consider for motivation's sake coming up in this matchup.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, let's get to the matchup itself. I know we haven't really touched too much on that, and I know it's not exactly a huge matchup in terms of two teams that are playing really well right now, but the line is the Bills are favored by 7 points as road favorites, and the total for the game is 46. So Matthew Fairburn, who do you have? Who covers, and over or under on this game?
Yeah, this is a tricky one. I think the Bills will win. I think they're playing too well right now to not win. I don't think that they're in any sort of position to be letting up or anything like that. And I think the possibility of Stidham makes me want to pick the Bills to cover as well. Jared Stidham has not been all that great, and given some of the struggles that Cam Newton had this year, the fact that he was never even really much of a consideration for the job, I think probably tells you what they think about him internally. So if he's on the field, I certainly think the Bills will cover. I still think I like them to cover, if Cam Newton's out there. And the over-under is the tricky one for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to say over, because it's the holiday season and we all want the over, but also no Stephon Gilmore. Is a factor here for me. 46 is pretty low. They were right near that number last time they played at 45. So it's a good number, but a lot will depend. I get the Bills defense is better than it was earlier in the year. So that'll be close. I don't advise putting your holiday money on the over under. I would rather, put it on money line for the Bills, or even get them covering that spread.
Right. The money line probably wouldn't do much for you. I think
no, it's not like one of those.
They're minus 303.
Responsible. Yeah, you got to put down some serious coin to make a return on investment there. But if you're looking for more of a sure thing, that's why I think the best dollar for dollar is probably betting on the spread. But I don't give financial advice, so. do what you want with your money. If you want to really, have a good time, just bet the over and cheer your heart up.
Yeah. I am with you on this one. I think the Bills are going to win this game. I just think there's too much going in their favor right now. They are playing at an extremely high level. And the Patriots, it looks like that they are at that point of the year where they just want it to end. And, losing how they have recently, their offense just is a mess. They just lost their best defensive player, Stephon Gilmore, for the rest of the season. And, it just doesn't really seem like anything is clicking for the Patriots right now, other than maybe their running game. So with the way that the Bills are playing, and I know last time around that they ran the ball a bunch. It was one of their two run-heavy scripts that they had this season, which was against the Patriots and against the Chargers. I think the Bills might even come out throwing in this one just because of who the Patriots don't have right now. And, maybe they'll be a little bit more balanced than they were last week against the Broncos, and certainly more balanced than they were the last time that they played the Patriots. But I'm expecting Josh Allen to do well in this game, and I'm also expecting Zach Moss to do well, who it looks like, from what I saw on film, it looks like this guy has turned a corner, and he's potentially going to be a pretty significant contributor for them as long as they continue to give him the ball, especially in late game situations. So I like the Bills. I think the Bills are going to blow them out. I do. I think this Patriots team, especially if Stidham plays, but even if he doesn't, I think the secondary is playing really well right now. They've got a good thing going with the rotation between Levi Wallace and Josh Norman. Milano, I think, is going to be back close to 100%. Before they put their backups in, he was at around 62% of snaps between him and AJ Klein. If I were a betting man, I would say that number is going to be up near 80, 85, 90% next week, maybe even 100. Who knows? But I think that'll increase. So that improves their coverage. It improves their run defense. The defensive tackles have been playing much better as of late, and as has their run defense. So all of this is a long-winded way of saying that I think the Bills are going to blow out the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. And the final score I have will be Bills 30, Patriots 13. And I think the over-under, I have them going with the under. Usually you have the line of thinking of if a team gets to 30, odds are they're getting the over. I don't know if the Patriots can get to 16 if the Bills get to 30. That's just the way that their offense has looked, and I just don't think it's a good matchup for them this week, not with how the Bills defense are playing, and especially with how the Bills defense kind of kept the Patriots in the game. I think they're going to come out and have a pretty strong effort in this one. So regrettably for hashtag team fun, I'm going to take the under once again, even though it didn't work out for me last week.
Yeah, the rule is if you think a team can get to 30, you take the over, unless this is like algebra rules or something, like logic rules. Unless you think the other team can hold somebody under 14 or 15, you know,
right.
Then you certainly, in that case, it takes some heavy lifting to get to the over, as we saw last week with the Bills, who just got there all by themselves. And yeah, I think it'll be hard for the Bills to score in the 40s, which is what's going to make that, a tougher number to hit. I could see it going either way, and especially if Stidham's the quarterback, it's going to be hard for the Patriots to generate points, unless he's just been sitting there waiting to break out. For some reason, they've just been keeping him on the bench. I just don't think he's going to do too much for him.
Wouldn't that be something if they've just been holding him on the bench this whole time, even while the playoff race was happening, and just going, yeah, we just wanted to hold him. Fooled y'all.
Like, oops, this guy's a superstar. Our bad. Like, I doubt it. But it would behoove them to get a look at him before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably, trading some assets to secure a quarterback at some point in the draft. So I think there's a pretty good chance Stidham will be there on Monday night starting, but we shall see. It would be something different, something a little interesting to see somebody we thought they'd have in there the whole year, but they made that last minute move probably based on what they had seen. So maybe some time on the bench has done them some good, but somehow I doubt it.
Also, let's not forget how good Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier defenses have been against quarterbacks exactly like Jarrett Stidham. So I would hazard a guess to think that even if Stidham plays, and even if they aren't able to completely game plan for him because they're also partially preparing for Cam Newton, I would anticipate that they're going to have a pretty, pretty good day against Jarrett Stidham. All right. That'll do it for us. We hope all of you have a wonderful holiday, however you celebrate it, whoever you celebrate it with. Truly, thank you all for listening to us on the Buffalo Beat here. We really appreciate all your support throughout the years, months, days, however long you've been listening. We appreciate it. So Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll look forward to talking with all of you on the other side of it when the Bills next take on the Patriots on Monday night. Anything to add, Matthew Fairbairn?
Well, it sounds like you covered it. Happy holidays to everybody out there listening, and hopefully many more episodes of this to come here in the new year. Some game day episodes to come in the new year, which is some territory we're getting familiar with.
Yeah. And rarefied air for it to get to actual mid-January episode. So we'll see if that actually happens. All right. Thanks again for listening. My name is Joe Biscaglia for Matthew Fairbairn, and we will talk to you next week. See you then.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.